This is Brian Jenkins of Chosen 300 Ministries. Thank you so much for joining us today, and we hope you enjoy today's message. Be sure to join us on the web at www.chosen300.org, where you can learn about volunteer activities and also opportunities for giving. You can give by sending us a gift to Chosen 300 Ministries at P.O. Box 95, Ardmore, Pennsylvania, 19003. We also have an option for online giving right on our website at chosen300.org, and we also encourage you to designate your United Way or community giving gifts at your place of employment to Chosen 300 Ministries. This is a big help to our ongoing expense for our mission projects in Center City, Philadelphia. We want to thank you so much for joining to us today, and may God bless you and you enjoy today's message. Amen. Somebody put your hands together and just bless the Lord real good. Hallelujah. Come on, just lift your hands where you are. Oh, hallelujah. Holy Spirit, saturate my soul, and let the peace of God let it rain. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody ought to say hallelujah this morning. The presence of the Lord is in this place. Hallelujah. Oh, bless his name. Come on, somebody just put your hands together and bless him. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh Lord, I hunger for more of you. Rise up within me, let me know your truth. Oh Holy Spirit, saturate my soul and let the life of God fill me now. Let your healing power bring life and make me whole. And let the peace of God let it rain. Oh hallelujah. God, we bless you. We thank you, God, for this time to share your word. We thank you, God, because you are a great and mighty God. Lord, I've studied, but I need your strength. I have prepared, but I need your power. God, I need your help today, God, to share your word. Now, consecrate me now for thy service, Lord, by the power of grace divine. May my soul look up with a steadfast hope and my will be lost in thine. In Jesus' name, let us all say amen. Come on, somebody ought to give God praise today. Come on, I know God's got something for us today. Oh, hallelujah. Oh. Oh, bless his name. Amen. Our scripture for this morning is found in Genesis, the 8th chapter, and also Matthew, the 3rd chapter. For the sake of time, we had some people scheduled to read, but I just want to cut those verses down a little bit because we're, for the sake of time, want to get to the message this morning. But if we can stand for the reading of the word for one moment. Genesis, the 8th chapter. Genesis, the 8th chapter. We want to start at verse 6. Genesis, the 8th chapter, verse 6. And it says, and it came to pass at the end of 40 days that Noah opened the window of the ark which he had made. And he sent forth a raven which went fro to and fro until the waters were dried up from off the earth. Also he sent forth a dove from him to see if the waters were abated from off the face of the ground. But when the dove found no rest for the sole of her foot, she returned unto him into the ark, for the waters were on the face of the whole earth. Then he put forth his hand and took her and pulled her in unto him into the ark. And he stayed yet another 7 days. And again he sent forth the dove out of the ark. And the dove came in to him in the evening. And lo, in her mouth was an olive leaf plucked off. So Noah knew that the waters were abated from off the earth. Matthew, the 3rd chapter, verse 13. Matthew, the 3rd chapter, verse 13. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, for I need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answered, saying unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were open unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lightning upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Let us all say amen. Amen. Just turn to your neighbor before you sit down and say, Neighbor, let the peace of God reign. Get the other neighbor, make sure they understand the message, and say, Neighbor, let the peace of God reign. Reign. Amen. Come on, put your hands together as you take your seats. Let the peace of God, let it reign. I don't know any of us here today that are at some point in our lives looking for peace. Looking for peace. I mean, this world is just filled with wickedness. I mean, just some wicked people in this world. I was listening to the news this week and how a young man about 21 years of age was just, somebody just drove up next to him, asked him for a cell phone, and when he said no, shot him over a cell phone that can only be used probably for a day, then the service is going to be turned off over a cell phone. Wickedness. With wickedness. I hear the stories how now states are approving same-sex marriage and civil unions. It's wickedness. We can dance around the subjects of this world, but call it what you want. It's sin and wickedness. People don't stay a virgin till they get married anymore, or hold off having sexual pleasure to the time that they are engaged in marriage between a man and a woman, but they are shacking up and living together, doing what they want to do. That marriage just seems like it's a piece of paper now. It's wickedness. Our governments have been corrupted, and people are doing anything that they want to do, when they want to do it, and how they want to do it. And it's simply a thing called wickedness. Wickedness. Wickedness is running rapid in our world. In 2 Timothy, the third chapter, Paul lets us know that in the last days, perilous times will come, where men shall be lovers of their own selves, being lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Well, what is the saying? Is that they desire to do anything to please themselves, but when it comes to the word of God and pleasing God and following his will and his way, they are not interested. And we shared with you before that before the Christians, and we had the sign of the cross, before they were called Christians at Antioch, they were called the people of the way. That's because they acted a certain way. They walked a certain way. They talked a certain way. They weren't filled with wickedness. But now in this day, we are dealing in the time where the world is filled with wickedness. Wickedness. And that's not just the world. In some of us, and even you and I, there is a place of wickedness in our hearts. Don't put your halo this morning and act like you don't do anything wrong. I'm just as wicked as anybody else. I need a touch from God every day. I need to be washed, brought closer, and drawn near to the cross. The Apostle Paul said it this way in Romans 7:21. It says, I find then a law that when I would do good, evil was always present with me. Let me make it clear. Every time that I would try to do good, found somewhere in that was wickedness. And we look at this world, we look at our lives, and we say that in the midst of all this wickedness, where can we find peace? Where can we find peace? Well, I'm glad you asked. In our text, in the Old Testament, in Genesis chapter 6 through 8, make sure you read all of that when you go back. But in Genesis 6 through 8, we find that in the Bible, that in verse 5, the Bible says that wickedness, chapter 6, verse 5, wickedness had become the order of the day. People did whatever they wanted to do.
Verse 5 of chapter 6, it says, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and everything that they imagined in their thoughts of his heart was evil continually." That means any time that they thought, the only thing that they thought to do was that which was not pleasing to the will and way of God. They was a wicked people. Well, in our message today, we want to talk about three things that must occur in order for the peace of God to reign. That's R-E-I-G-N, not R-A-I-N. That means to be supreme in our lives, in our way, and in our world. In order for the peace of God to reign, three things must occur. The first one is that in order for peace to reign, destruction must happen. Destruction must happen. In order for the peace of God to reign, destruction must happen. In this time of Noah, the people were a wicked people. And God says that I am tired of man. Matter of fact, he says, I have even repented to the fact that I have even made man because of their disobedience and their wickedness. And then God decided, I am going to destroy the earth. I am going to destroy every beast of the field, every fowl of the air, every fish of the sea, everything that crawleth, and man, I am going to destroy them in order to get rid of wickedness. I'm going to destroy them. We have to understand that in order for the peace of God to reign, destruction must occur. In our text in verse 7, it says, "And the Lord God said, I will destroy man whom I've created from the face of the earth, both man, beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me I have made them." Verse 17 of that sixth chapter, it says, "And behold, I, even I, do bring forth a flood of waters on the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein there is breath of life from under the heaven, and everything in the earth shall die." In order for peace to come in the earth, to peace to come into your life, there must be destruction. Well, as we look in our New Testament text, we find also that destruction had to occur. In Luke, the 24th chapter, verse 46, it says, "And said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and raise from the dead on the third day." In our gospel reading, Matthew 3:13, it says, "Then come of Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. For John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee. And comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer to be so now, for thus it becometh to fulfill all righteousness." You're listening, but you don't get it yet. Hang in there with me. Listen, the baptism of Jesus Christ said this. Jesus says, I am coming to be baptized. But in my baptism, I am showing forth my death, my burial, and my resurrection. What Christ was saying is that I am offering myself up to be destroyed. See, in order for the peace of God to occur in our lives, destruction has to take place. And what happens that when Christ gave of himself, he was being destroyed for the purpose of us having peace. You're listening, but you don't get it. See, all of us were doomed to death. You have a death penalty. You have a death penalty. You have a death penalty. I don't care whether they locked you up with handcuffs or not. Because you have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, you have a death penalty. But see what Christ did. And see, in order for peace to have occurred in our lives, we had to be destroyed so our wickedness would be removed. However, Christ came in and says, wait a second, I don't want them to be destroyed. I will take the destruction for them so that the peace of God can reign in their lives. Somebody ought to give God a round of applause for taking on the destruction for us. Somebody ought to say hallelujah. Oh, bless his name. Jesus died.
Jesus took on destruction for us so that the peace of God can reign in our lives. Somebody ought to say hallelujah. But well, destruction must occur. First, destruction occurred at the flood. Then destruction occurred at the cross. But destruction also has to occur in our own lives. Romans 8:13, it says, "For if you live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live." Colossians 3:5-6. I want to look at the New International Version for this. It says, "Put to death." That means destroy. "Therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires of greed, which is idolatry, because of these, the wrath of God is coming." Well, how do we put to death, or how do we destroy? We stop doing the things that are outside of God's will. When sexual immorality or the temptation of sin comes your way, you say, "No, you've been put to death. You've been destroyed in my life." When addictions tempt you and say, "Come on, try it again. You can try it." No. You've been put to death. You've been destroyed. When lying and cheating and greed comes to your life and presents itself to you, you say, "No, you've been destroyed. You've been put to death." We have to mortify the deeds of the flesh in our life so that the peace of God can reign. Somebody ought to say amen. See, a lot of times we're tempted. A lot of times we are presented with opportunities of sin. And then we have a choice. Do we do what's wrong or we do what's right? And what you need to put in your mind, what you need to put in your spirit, what you need to put in your heart is that, "No, I'm not going to do that sin. I choose to live holy. I choose to live right. And therefore, I am going to destroy and put the destruction the things of this world." Somebody ought to say amen. In order for the peace of God to reign, things have to be destroyed. In order to eliminate wickedness so that the peace of God can reign in our lives, we have to destroy wickedness. Well, what's the second thing? In order for the peace of God to reign, someone must be spared. Someone must be spared. In Genesis chapter 6, verse 8, we find that, chapter 6, 2, 8, we find that Noah was the one whom God said that he walked with him. If he had a hymn book that we had today, I believe that Noah would sing the song, "And he walked with me and talked with me and told me that I'm his own." Noah walked with God, and God saw him as a perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. See, out of all the earth that was destroyed, somebody was spared. That was Noah. That Noah was spared. And see, Noah was spared for the purpose that the earth would be replenished, but also because that Noah walked with God. Noah was spared. And the Bible says, "And Noah and his family were brought into the ark, and the animals, two of each kind, male and female, brought he them into the ark. And the waters came down, and it rained for 40 days and 40 nights. And all the flesh of the earth was killed except Noah, his family, and the animals that were with him in the ark." Noah was spared. Well, where does this come into us? Christ gave himself so that we could be spared. In Romans 8:32, the first part, it says, "He spared that he spared not his own son, but he delivered him up for us all." You're going to get it in a second. "He spared not his own son, but he delivered him up for us all." We were the ones who were spared. We were spared. See, have you ever had a spare tire? See, if you know about a spare tire, see, the spare tire really isn't used. It doesn't have the abuse of the road. We was riding down 309, and they're doing all that construction. And every time I hit a pothole, they would say, "Them people did something to the road." And he understood that something was happening to the car. It was shaking. It was rattling. It was being abused because of the damage in the road. You have to understand, but underneath there is a spare tire. You're going to get it. There's a spare tire underneath. That as it travels along the road, nothing's happening to the spare tire. The four on the two on the front, they're hitting bumps. They're being damaged. They're being torn. The tread is wearing off. The two in the back, they're sliding and ripping, hitting bumps and being torn in the back. But underneath is a spare. And nothing's happening to the spare. So when Christ died for you on Calvary, he took the brunt of the road. He took the brunt of the cross. He took the brunt of the spear. He took the brunt of the nails. And he said, because I love you so much, you're going to be spared. Hallelujah. Just turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, I was spared. Come on, put those hands together and bless his name. I was spared. I was spared. In order for the peace of God to reign, destruction must occur. In order for the peace of God to reign, somebody has to be spared. Romans 6 and 4 says, therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. We were spared because of what he did for us on Calvary. The peace of God. In order for the peace of God to reign, there has to be destruction. Somebody has to be spared. And the third thing, that in order for the peace of God to reign, the Spirit of God has to be given. The Spirit of God has to be given. Well, in Genesis, the 8th chapter, as we look through verses 8 and 9, the Bible says that he sent forth the dove from him to see if the waters were abated from the face of the ground. But the dove found no rest, and he came back. But then after 7 days, Noah sent the dove out again. And in verse 10, it says, and he stayed yet another 7 days, and again he sent forth the dove out of the ark. And the dove came into him in the evening, and lo, her mouth was an olive leaf plucked off. You're going to get it. In her mouth was an olive leaf plucked off. So Noah knew the waters were abated from off the earth. Now, a lot of times we look at the dove and we think that the dove is the symbol of peace. No, the dove is a symbol of humility. But if you look what the dove had in its mouth, it had an olive leaf. Well, the olive leaf comes from the olive branch, which is the symbol of peace. See, after the wickedness of man occurred and the destruction occurred, then God allowed the waters to be abated, and then he let the peace of God reign in Noah's life and on the earth by bringing back the symbol of an olive leaf, that the peace of God could reign. Well, let's go a little bit further with this. The olive branch is a symbol of peace, but the olive leaf, if you extract the oil from an olive leaf, it brings forth olive oil. And we know that in the Old Testament that the olive oil was used as a symbol or a welcoming of the presence of God to rest on the person that it was being poured upon. You're going to get it. It's coming. Don't worry. 1 Samuel 16 and 13, it says, then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed David in the midst of his brethren, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. When the presence of God or the peace of God comes upon your life, what's that saying? Is that the presence of God comes in. You're going to get it, but let's look at Jesus. Let's look at Jesus in this Matthew, the 3rd chapter, verse 16 to 17. It says, and Jesus, when he was baptized, went straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened, and unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lightning upon him. And lo, the heavens were open, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lightning upon him. You're going to get it. And lo, the heavens were open, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lightning upon him. What this is saying is that when the presence of God is pleased, when God is pleased, the pleasant presence of God, the peace of God descended upon the earth, and God showed that through his Son accepting destruction, that the peace of God could reign in our lives. Where does that fit with us? Where does that fit with us? I can't see, and that's why I need my glasses. Getting older. In our baptism, when we look at our baptism, we accept Christ. Christ comes into our life. Now, this water doesn't save us. Doesn't save us. It's just water. It's just water. This water can't do anything to us. It's just water. Just water. It's water. Water didn't do anything. Water. It is a declaration that you have decided to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. But what happens when you accept God? A metamorphosis occurs. The presence of God comes into your life and quickens you and makes you alive. And then the peace of God reigns in your life. Oh, bless his name. Romans 5:1. It says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Oh, come on, somebody ought to bless his name. Come on, Brother Joe. And see, the peace of God, the peace of God. When we allow the peace of God to reign in our life, wickedness, even though it's all around us, we can have peace of God. That's why that song says, Father of life, draw me closer. Lord, my heart is set on you. Let me run the race of time with your life enfolding mine. And let the peace of God, let it reign. Oh, Holy Spirit, you're my comfort. Strengthen me, hold my head up high. And as I stand upon your truth, bringing glory unto you, and let the peace of God, let it reign. Oh Lord, I hunger for more of you. Rise up within me. Let me know you true. Oh Holy Spirit. Oh hallelujah. Oh Holy Spirit, saturate my soul. And let the life of God fill me now, and let your healing power breathe life and make me whole, and let the peace of God, let it reign. Oh, hallelujah. The presence of the Lord is here. Ash and they singing. I just want to open up the altar. I know normally you call people to come to Jesus right now, but I believe that some of you need the peace of God in your life. The presence of God is here. I'm going to lay hands on you, and the anointing of the Holy Spirit is going to rest on your life, and the peace of God is going to take residence in you. Just come on up. Come on up. You need peace in your life. Come on. Come on. Come on. It's just prayer time. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. I just want to pray for you. The presence of God is still resting. Come on. Come on. In Jesus, let the peace of God reign in you in Jesus' name. Let the peace of God in Jesus. Let the peace of God in Jesus.
God reign in your life. Oh, Holy Spirit, saturate my mind. strength and
come on, the presence of God is in this place. Oh, hallelujah! Come on, come on. And the peace of God
from the truth, bringing glory unto you. And let the peace of God let it rain.
Well, praise the Lord. We hope you enjoyed today's mission message for today. We encourage you once again to sow a seed of faith into this ministry. We are the ministry that is uniting the body of Christ to reach the world to help the homeless and less fortunate. We also encourage you to join us every Sunday morning at 10 o'clock a.m. for our Sunday morning worship and breakfast. And again, any volunteer opportunity, they're located on the website at chosen300.org, where you can participate in helping the homeless and less fortunate. May God bless you and may heaven smile upon you.